The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the weekend. It is Friday, September 9th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Better yet, it's got to be Hemp Stock Weekend here in Portland, Oregon, and we've got more to tell you about that as we go on with the show today. Once again, we've got a full studio, folks, bringing the show to you today. We start over in the Pirate's Cove with Ganja John.
What's up, Russ? How you doing?
Hey, just chilling. You had the most interesting evening last night.
Yes, we did have a pretty interesting evening.
We'll talk more about it in hour two, but one of a famous person.
Yes.
Hanging out.
A little bit.
That's really cool. We'll get to that in hour two, so stay tuned in the live talk, Toker Talk Radio Hour. We'll talk about that. Also in studio today with us is Cannabis Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, guys. Oop.
She's made her way back from the,
in the studio again.
Back
this
in the studio.
So much
we love
fun.
It.
I love it too.
And we're all sporting the normal shirts for Casual Friday today,
that's
so
right.
Check that out. We got Wiz Calico in the house as well.
Hey.
Spinning around. Glad to have you here. And Cannabis Cure UK.
What's up? How's
all
it going?
Right. We've all got the normal
shirts.
We're
team normal.
We're
today.
Team normal. This is so awesome. Glad to have you all here. Like I said, plenty of stuff to get to on today's show. We'll start with the hemp headlines and Cannabis Carrie. So what do we got for news today, Carrie?
Well, I've got some world news. I'm going to go to a case in Canada that we're looking at and those terrible drug forfeiture laws. You know, we share those in the U.S. as well. Also, some news out of Singapore about some youth that got into a little bit of trouble over cannabis. And we're going to go to the state of Missouri, where a technical school has broken some new ground. Not good.
Unfortunate ground, too. If we have time, also, I got some information from that Colorado DUID working panel, a post that's up on Huffington Post with some more details on that. Good stuff to talk about. At 20 after, we take our Daily Toker Tunes break. It's Rockin' Friday today. Herb Thrasher's calling in, and we're going to play some music we've played before, Valiant Thor with Double Crossed, but that's just an intro to what we've got at half past the hour, an interview of Valiant Thor by Herb Thrasher downtown at Dante's, down there in the basement green room. It's a little dark and dim, but it's a great audio interview, and there's some good stuff there, so check that out at half past. Herb's really proud of it, and we're really happy that Valiant Thor is such a supporter of Normal and our show. And then at 45 past, we've got Dave Bienenstock, the West Coast editor of High Times Magazine and High Times Medical Marijuana Quarterly. He'll be telling us about the new issues of both that are coming out and a preview of the Medical Cannabis Cup in Detroit, Michigan, where medical marijuana cards are good from every state.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
WeedMaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. WeedMaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to WeedMaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke. Hey, Tokers, this is Radical Russ encouraging you to check out the great music this summer. And one group you should definitely check out are big supporters of normal and marijuana legalization, and that's Slightly Stupid. Get all the details online at seedlesssummertour.com. Slightly Stupid. Go, we don't need no cocaine. Revolution. Schwayze. And Cisco. It's the stoniest show of the summer, coming to Missoula, Boise, Redmond, Washington, Eugene and Jacksonville, Oregon, Lake Tahoe, Berkeley, San Diego, Salt Lake City, Aspen, Denver, Asbury Park, Guilford, New Hampshire, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Charlotte, Cocoa Beach, Boca Raton, St. Augustine, Atlanta, Raleigh, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Mesa, Arizona, and Irvine, California. Don't miss it. For more details, visit SeedlessSummerTour.com. Seedless Summer Tour is sponsored by Seedless.com, Sector 9, Groove Shark, Revolution Vodka, and Silver Surfer Vaporizers.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
A Canadian man who is acquitted on charges that he grew hundreds of cannabis plants on his land may still lose his property due to British Columbia's Civil Forfeiture Act. The Civil Forfeiture Act was designed by the government to go after any ill-gotten gains, but critics are saying cases like these highlight that the law has gone too far. The law was passed in 2006, and it holds a standard of proof as the balance of probabilities that is far lower than the criminal standard of proof that says to convict, there must be proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Since 2006, British Columbia province has collected almost $17 million in proceeds from the measure, including cars and real estate, along with mountains of cash. The act allows proof of unlawful activity even when there is no criminal conviction or charges, and in this case, despite the acquittal of the accused for the suspected offense. In this most recent case, Christopher Showquist, the owner of a property in Qualicum Reach, B.C., was served with a warrant in January of 2009. In an outbuilding, the police found almost 400 marijuana plants and 30 bags of marijuana, along with other items the police called, quote, cultivation, productions, and trafficking paraphernalia. He was charged with producing a controlled substance and possession of a controlled substance for the purpose of trafficking. At his criminal trial in November of 2010, a judge found the warrant invalid because the police had trespassed on his property to make the observations on which the warrant was based. According to the judge in that trial, the police had been looking for information based on the suspicion that Mr. Showquist, quote, was up to no good. Mr. Showquist was acquitted in January, the very same month that the province started proceedings against him under the Civil Forfeiture Act. Even though he was petitioned the court to stop the proceedings claiming abuse of process, his application was dismissed with a finding that there was nothing inherently abusive about the RCMP pursuing civil proceedings based upon the information that they eventually received. The police are seeking the ownership of his house and property based on that idea that they were purchased with proceeds from drug sales.
Yeah, this is the same sad, you know, law that we've had in America for a long time, and, you know, Canada just came up with it here in 2006. It seems like Stephen Harper and their government there would just want to duplicate all the bad ideas that we've come up here in America for, you know, to try to fight the war on drugs as we have, and we've seen what it's done to our country. This civil forfeiture is really nothing more than just legalized thuggery. Legalized stealing is what it is. It allows the government, allows the state to come in and take your property by saying that your property committed a crime. That's right, an inanimate object is guilty of a crime. And this having to, you know, convict it by a balance of probabilities. That just says, well, it's more likely than not it was guilty. We're not sure, but, you know, chances are it's probably guilty. You know, like, 6 out of 11 times it's probably guilty. So we're going to take all your stuff. And then you've got the burden of trying to prove that your stuff is innocent. And again, like, you know, Carrie mentioned in the story here, in Canada and in America, the way this works is you don't even have to be convicted of a crime. You know, they can say that, well, your house was the ill-gotten proceeds of, you know, being a drug dealer. And, you know, there could be no drug dealing convictions against you. They may not have ever found you with cannabis on you at any time, but they can charge your house with being, you know, the ill-gotten proceeds, and you've got to go to the trouble of trying to prove it isn't. And then, of course, the state has their limitless resources to be able to do this. They can drag this out as long as they want to. Meanwhile, you've got to be paying attorney's fees, taking time off work, trying to prove that your stuff was really yours. It's a sad, sad day in Canada when they're taking up the same failed ideas of the American drug war.
And in some world news, some young people were arrested for allegedly using cannabis in Singapore, a nation that has become known for its harsh penalties for drug offenses. The mostly students were a group of 15 young people who were largely international students, and they were nabbed in an 18-hour nationwide drug bust. The officials in Singapore's Central Narcotics Bureau said that four of the suspects were from Singapore, and the others were from the United States, Britain, France, India, South Africa, Indonesia, and a young man from New Zealand. They ranged in ages from 13 to 25 and were alleged to have bought marijuana from a 37-year-old Singaporean resident that was also arrested in the drug sting. Most of those arrested were reported to be friends and just smoked the cannabis together. According to Singapore officials, the group were caught with surveillance of the alleged drug dealer's home right in downtown central Singapore. The youngest offender, a young man from New Zealand, was found with 2 grams of marijuana, and then an additional 23 grams were discovered at the suspected dealer's home. All 15 are being investigated for possession and consumption of a Class A drug. Considering the age of most of the offenders, it is unknown at this time what penalties they will face if convicted. But the Singapore media says the accused drug dealer, 37, will face 20 years in prison and 15 strokes of a cane. His penalty would have been much harsher if he had the threshold of 30 grams of marijuana on him. In Singapore, anyone with more than 30 grams is considered a trafficker and can face life in prison or even the death penalty. Anyone can be arrested for being in the company of drug users or escaping from or owning keys to a property that contains drugs. Singapore does have a zero-tolerance approach to illegal drugs. And in a statement about the arrest that could hold potential international backlash, officials said, quote, "We will not tolerate anyone abusing drugs in Singapore and worse, contaminating others. Those who think otherwise are mistaken, and the CNB, that's the Central Narcotics Bureau, will not hesitate to take action against them."
Yeah, Singapore, they have this zero tolerance for drugs, and yet they still have drugs. Yeah, their use of drugs, their rates of drug usage are lower than most other countries, but they're not zero. It never decreases to zero. So while you have a zero tolerance, what you're saying is you have zero tolerance for what is eventually going to be some drug use in your country. It might be less, but there will always be some. And this case has proven it, right? You got 15 people here that are being charged, you know, despite these penalties involving, you know, possible 20-year sentences, caning, you remember remember the case of the American, what was it? I can't remember his name, but where he was going to be caned and everybody talked about it being torturous. And it really is. I did some research on this stuff. And if you look up some of the scientific literature on this practice, it pretty much amounts to torture. And 30 grams could be life sentence or could be death penalty. That's a little more than an ounce, folks. And I bet we could find that in the couch cushions at Ganja John's house here. But life sentence or death penalty. And yet they still have to do this from time to time. It's not deterring everyone, and it's never going to deter anyone. And so for the drug warriors here in America that think we ought to get tougher, that we ought to have these tougher penalties, realize that all you're advocating for that is the guarantee that we're going to be torturing and imprisoning for great lengths of time people that really don't deserve it.
A state technical college in Lynn, Missouri, has now added mandatory drug testing to their requirements. The new policy, which started on Wednesday, with enrolling students greeted with a drug-free demand in what is the most far-reaching drug testing policy at a public college or university in the country. While federal and state courts have consistently upheld more limited drug testing policies of public high school students, such as those that play sports, students in some private schools, and NCAA athletes, widespread drug testing of a general student body appears to be unprecedented and seemingly a source of pride for the state's only technical college. Kent Brown, the Jefferson City attorney who represents a school that has about 1,200 students, says that it does indeed appear that the program is unique in its scope and breadth, calling the college unique. School leaders say the drug screenings are necessary to ensure student safety at the campus that includes work in aircraft maintenance, heavy engine repair, and nuclear technology. The technical school said that before they enacted the new policy, they surveyed hundreds of local employers who overwhelmingly supported the requirement of students, saying that it will prepare them for employment since they will also encounter drug screenings in the job market. Administrators say the students will be faced with drug-free workplaces when they graduate. This is the best way to get them ready. All first-year students must comply with the requirement, plus any students returning after a break. Civil libertarians call the policy a constitutional violation of the Fourth Amendment protection against unlawful searches and seizures, an invasion of privacy, and likely a lawsuit target. Dan Veets, a Columbia attorney and member of the Missouri Civil Liberties Union, says that he doesn't think the courts will uphold it. The test screens for 11 drugs, including marijuana, cocaine, methamphetamine, and oxycodone. Students who test positive can stay in school while on probation, but must test clean 45 days later to remain enrolled, while also completing an online drug prevention course or assigned to other unspecified appropriate activities according to the school's written policy. Students who initially test positive but then test negative a subsequent time will remain on probation for the rest of that semester and will also face an unannounced follow-up test. The test costs $50, and that is a fee that will be paid by the students.
Yeah, we got to get the kids ready for the drug-free workplaces that they're going to be working at. So let's just get them used to giving up their Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights in order to get an education. That makes a lot of sense because, you know, if someone did have a drug problem, the last thing we'd want them to do is to go to a technical college and become a productive, useful member of society with a valuable education that might prove useful in the workplace. Now, if they have a drug problem, let's make sure they can't get an education. Let's make sure they stay addicted to a drug and that they can't go on. But of course, you know, when we say drugs in these cases, we're not talking drugs usually. We're talking about cannabis. That's the one that comes up the most on these tests. They're most likely to get busted for, and they're most likely to be doing if they're a young person of college age. It'll be interesting to see how the enrollment levels at the Missouri Technical College drop after this becomes widespread knowledge. All right, we've got time for one quick little story here. Coming out of the Huffington Post, Ian Danielson is from the School of Public Affairs at the University of Colorado Denver, and it's that policy memo about medical marijuana and driving. You know, Colorado tried to pass House Bill 1261, which would have set a per se limit of 5 nanograms per milliliter as being a defined DUI, and the Attorney General, John Southers, is furious about that. He's saying it's the legislature's not living up to their responsibility to protect public safety. But I wanted to give you some of the information that he relates here from this study group. They brought in some evidence that suggested that THC content below 10 nanograms does not represent an increased risk of accident. Another group concluded that the THC content between 7 and 10 nanograms per milliliter was roughly equivalent to a 0.05 blood alcohol content. The other thing they note is that the medical marijuana patients develop an increased tolerance tolerance to the inebriating effects of the drug, as well as compensating for potential inebriation by slowing down and increasing distances between themselves and other vehicles. In stark contrast, heavy drinkers actually become more sensitive to alcohol's inebriating effects, a reverse tolerance, and experience lowered inhibitions, creating the high potential for dangerous driving. Moreover, a 2006 Australian study compared performance in driving simulations with blood THC content 30 minutes after smoking marijuana and again 80 minutes after smoking marijuana. The researchers found that THC content peaked at about 70 or 71 nanograms per milliliter right after smoking and then began to decrease steadily. 30 minutes after smoking, performance in the driving simulations was not significantly impaired, despite the participants' average blood THC content of 10.32 nanograms per milliliter. Paradoxically, 80 minutes after smoking, when THC content was down to 4.85, impairment actually seemed to increase. What these studies are showing us is that we don't really have a good handle on a number that would define impairment by THC in the bloodstream, and even if we did, it certainly would not be 5 nanograms per milliliter.
What do you think about getting our nanograms per milliliter up a little bit?
Let's see if we can peak over 100. What do you say?
Let's do this.
We'll take a break. We're right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Hey, this is Subcool coming to you live from the second annual Medical Cannabis Cup in San Francisco, and I'm on Normal Radio.
The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup is coming to Detroit on October 15th and 16th. That's right. The world's premier medical marijuana competition will be in Motown to celebrate the cannabis economy of the Great Lakes State. It's a two-day expo at Burt's Warehouse Theater, showcasing the movers and shakers of the Michigan medical marijuana industry and the merchandise that makes the machine go. There'll be seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, doctors, patients, researchers, growers, dispensary owners, and activists. Plus, High Times' own cultivation editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido will roll into town with the goods on growing great ganja. Be there for an amazing Saturday night VIP party featuring top musical performances and special guests. High Times will award the Medical Cannabis Cup for top indicas, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, and edibles. Entered by Michigan's dispensaries and collectives. Come to Birch Warehouse Theater on October 15th and 16th. Visit MedCanCup.com for all the details. Celebrate cannabis in Michigan. Celebrate the resurgence of Detroit. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Yar, there be pirates here. Yo, ho, 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 and a ton of good smoke. Har, har.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today, we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday. Our segment features the best of rock, metal, punk, and jam band music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, we're back with the busiest man in hemp vending. It's Herb Thrasher from Herb Age Designs. How you doing, Herb?
All right, man. What's going on, guys? Hope everyone's planning to come to Hempstock this weekend.
That's right. Hempstock this weekend. I was just checking out the schedule. Lots of cool stuff happening. I'm on a panel there 2:50 tomorrow, like around 3 o'clock, with Ngayo Bealum and a couple other folks talking about the media. You're on the hemp industry panel that day, like 12:30, right?
I am. I think it's on, at 12:30 to 1:15. There's a hemposium stage area where there'll be a lot of panels speaking going on, and that's to the south of the main stage. And so this year, and instead of kind of having one little area, we've kind of crafted it to where there's two areas. And so the hemposium area is going to have its own vending, and there's food over there by it. And so it's going to be a cool thing to add to the festival this year.
Yeah, we've got all sorts of great panels going on. Paul Stanford with the History of Hemp, the Oregon Hemp Industry one that you're on. Dr. Phil Levesque will be speaking. There's a panel on the initiatives. We've got, I think, a Missouri guy coming in, a couple of the Washington people, some of the Oregon people. The media panel that I'm on, a YB Normal panel with, I believe, Anna Diaz and Madeline Martinez will be on that. Los Marihuanos is playing. And then on Sunday, Moms for Marijuana, so Sarah Frank will be out there. Yellowwana Cake, our own Yellowwana Cake from the chat room. She'll be a part of a cooking seminar at noon on Sunday. There's seminars on medicinal hemp oil, medical marijuana growing, sensible drug policy reform, a LEAP panel. I believe Shelley Fox Loken, one of our guests, is going to be on that. Know Your Rights panel with a lot of the legal attorneys that we see, the Normal Women's Alliance. And then the musical act I got announced, 6:30 p.m. Sunday, 9/11, at the Hemp Stock, Josh Belville playing live on stage. So check that out.
There you go. See, he's been on the show before, so you guys know, and you might as well go. But yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on, and there's so many people in the community stepping up these days and doing stuff. And so, yeah, Hempstock's going to be great. You guys, the weather's going to be awesome. There's going to be a different setup for parking this year, too. And so, yeah, you guys come on out and check it out. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, you can check it out on the web at hempstalk.org. It's S-T-A-L-K, hempstalk.org. And on Twitter, it's at hempstalk2011 to get the latest updates. Herb, let's turn things around here to Rockin' Friday, because we went out, was it last Friday? Was it just a week ago? And we saw Valiant Thor. Tell them about that that fun we had.
Yeah, it was. It was a week ago, last Friday, and we've had Valiant Thor on the show before. They're we love them, and they're kind of considered, you know, in the stoner rock world, and so we've kind of always listened to them. So I've known about them, and they're just great guys. And you know, we contacted them, and they were totally supportive of doing something with Normal. And so we went out there, myself, Radical Russ, and Ganja John, and we took some cameras and went out there and got to interview Valiant himself. And we also saw some cool bands. We met another band that we're going to be interviewing. We got another interview out of that because Witchburn,
yeah,
opened for them. We were going to do something that night, and just timing didn't work out the way they were, and they were kind of working. And so we've already talked about it, and we're going to schedule something with them. They're going to be back in Portland in November, so we're going to go there
and
do the same thing for Witchburn.
Yeah, we'll definitely go back and see that group. They got bumped. They were supposed to be opening for Valiant Thor, and then they got pushed like two bands earlier, so they ended up playing like at 9 o'clock. There was hardly anybody there. It was a shame, too, because they were a great band.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But they're the only opening band for their next show, so this should get a lot more play for them.
All right. Well, we're going to play a Valiant Thor tune here. We've played before on the show, Double Crossed. And then we'll take a commercial break, and we'll get to the interview that we recorded down in the basement green room there at Dante's. It's a little dark, but you'll still be able to make out plenty, and the audio is good. And Valiant has a lot of cool things to say, don't you think?
Oh, I think so, man. He's great. You know, he's always been outspoken. He's got ideas about everything, and it's not just about this or that. He's kind of got an idea about everything. And he's pretty outspoken guy, very cool. And so, yeah, you guys should check this interview out for sure. And have a great weekend. Come to Hempstock. If you don't come to Hempstock, do something else positive in the cannabis community. And guys, rock on.
And
keep rocking in a free world.
Of course, check out herbagedesigns.com for all the latest designs and the disc golf, I should say, stuff that you got going on there. Any other new products we need to know about?
No, we're kind of getting towards the end of the season. We're actually I'm taking everything there this weekend. We're gonna have some sale stuff, and everything I've got in the repertoire is going to be there this weekend. So, no, you guys come on out. There's about a, we probably have about 100 vendors, and so there's going to be plenty of shopping. And Russ mentioned a lot of the great musical acts and speakers, so come on out.
All right. We'll be there, Hempstock, at the Kelly Point Park in Portland, Oregon, Saturday and Sunday, and visit the Herb Age booth and say hi to Herb Thrasher. And it's been a good good time in college football for us, too, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, you're having just a kick butt beginning of the season. I mean, yeah. You freaking opened up. You beat the SEC. You beat Georgia. And then last night, you guys went out and you beat the Saints as a Packer fan. And now I'm hearing this morning that the Pac-10 commissioner has been in Boise having meetings with the Boise chancellor or AD president, whatever the heck you guys call him, about joining the Pac-10. So
well, I don't know if Boise State's ready for right that.
Now. I don't know. We beat every Pac-10 team we played.
Oh, that doesn't mean anything.
You're right. It was just the Oregon teams.
Yeah, it was just Oregon teams.
Hey, Herb, we got to go. Thanks for calling in, man. We're going to get this Valiant Thor going. This is Valiant Thor with Double Crossed, and check out Herb at Hempstock. Thanks, Herb.
Right on.
Want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
We are live. Normal rocks, and we are going to rock tonight. We have a great show going. We have Valiant Thor in town tonight, and we're sitting here with Valiant himself, lead singer of the band. How's it going, Valiant?
Alan Weiss, man.
Right on, man. Good to see you guys,
glad
man.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for coming to Portland, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, we just flew into town. Just made it happen.
Yeah, the last time I saw you guys, you were here in Portland, and you were on the Motorhead and Clutch tour. How'd that go?
That was awesome. That was, that was like a really big tour for us. Like every single show sold out, and it's always good to get to see both of those bands, especially touring with legends like Motorhead. It was a crazy tour too, because it was like they've been touring for a whole year, and they started it at their 30th anniversary, so it went on into their 31st anniversary as a band. It was Clutch's 20th anniversary, and it was our 10th anniversary.
Oh, wow,
back in May. And so we all had like anniversaries, and we had a record that came out last year at the end of the year, and so it was a lot of people's new experience with that. Mm-hmm. And Clutch just had a new record, and Motorhead had a new record and a new Lemmy DVD. So everything was firing. All of it was good, man. It was a great, great tour.
That's outstanding. You got to get on stage with Lemmy too, didn't you?
Yeah, I got to sing with him. It was funny because I don't think I even told people about it last tour, but I did it more on the tour before that. I did it like two or three times this time. Right, it was on. Always cool to sing. I always sing Killed by Death with them.
Right on.
And I got to do it on my birthday. Right after we left here, we did Seattle and Vancouver, and then we went over to Calgary, and I did it on my birthday in Calgary, so I thought that was pretty radical.
Yeah, that's awesome.
The dudes fucking pied me in the face right before I went on, and I had fucking cream pie all over my face, but it was still badass.
All in good fun. If it had been at a normal party, it would have been a medicated pie.
Oh, yeah.
Right on. So then you guys left and you went on a European tour. How was that?
That was our best tour, or biggest tour we've probably ever been on, as far as for us. I mean, we do really well over in Europe, and rock and roll never went away over there, so we've been getting bigger and badder consistently.
That's
to say, I've said it before, it took us about half the time over there to get twice as big as we are here in the States.
Yep.
And, that's no stretch. It's just we got lucky. We played with insane bands over there whose fans just always come out and, like, make it their holiday or their vacation, and they... So we played a lot of really crazy festivals, finished in Madrid and played Mastodon and Iron Maiden and Uriah Heep and Twisted Sister. It was just insane. I think we played in front of about 25,000 people, which sounds like nothing compared to like 40,000 that Maiden played in front of. But still, you're looking out there going, holy shit, man. It was cool.
No, that's awesome. Well, you guys, you must be considered pretty much homeless because you guys are always on tour, it seems like. I keep up with you a little bit, and you guys are always rocking somewhere.
Yeah, I've been homeless for 6 years. Too long is what I like to say. I feel like we're trying to figure out little situations now because you had to do it that way for a while, but, we still, and it's not like we make enough money really to afford rent anyway, but we're trying to... Everybody's trying to figure it out. Most everybody has it figured out except for me. Like, get a little place to go home to. I've just been going on weird trips in our time off, but I'm getting beat up, man. I need to take care of myself, and therefore I need a place.
You gotta do that, dude. Yeah. It's important, I know that, but, the music industry is a fickle little thing. I've kept up with some of your tweets, and I know that you've got an opinion about it and stuff. So do you feel like the music industry's getting better, or is it still just fucked right now?
Well, it's definitely different. I don't know if you could sit here and bitch and say it's fucked. It's never going to be the way it was. Just with the technology that we have, people aren't going to go. If I just take it away and don't talk about, let's talk about the movie industry. If you look at the movie industry, not as many people go out and buy DVDs. The people who make movies and made all that money on VHS cassettes and DVDs for so long, they want to say they're losing their ass because people are downloading just like they're downloading songs. People are downloading movies. That's no lie. But they're not downloading as much as people are using like Netflix, which would be comparable to Spotify or or there's a couple other song things out there where you pay a little bit a month and you can listen to anything. It kind of covered over the, hey, let's download it all for free. So they made these legitimate ones, and they give a little bit to the movie companies, and they give a little bit to the you know, to the artists and, or the labels or whatever. But with these things, it's still a big cut to what it always was for people. So, you know, the people in the music industry, you're going to find smaller bands fucking off. You know, you find like MySpace, back when MySpace was at its peak, there was probably every single dude you knew had a band. There was thousands. There was like a million bands, like not even figuratively speaking, literally. Yeah. There was like over a million bands on MySpace. How many of those bands do you think exist now that they can't even afford gas to get two towns over to check out, you know? And then it not only affects smaller bands, but it affects touring bands as well, because, you know, they can't afford not only gas, but they can't afford to make a record. They can't afford to pay a dude to make a record for them because they can't even pay it off. They can't even get enough. So that's why you have campaigns like Kickstarter. Well, we've never done a Kickstarter program. I remember hearing a while back, for example, the band CKY, they got onto a major label, and then they got off a major label, and I remember that they said, we're going to make our album, but we're going to sell it first. So they sold enough records to their fans online to... Now, I'm pretty sure this is how it went down. I don't want to, you know, like, I don't know those guys. You know, I've met them, and I've, you know, we're pretty good. You know, I don't want to say I'm best friends with them. I don't know exactly how it went down, but I think the basic idea was sell it to their fans, and then once they sold enough of them, they went in, they recorded it, paid it off, and then they sent those to those fans, and they all, like, basically bought into the record, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's a very smart way to do it. You know, then Kickstarter kind of came around, and that's how people raise, that's how younger bands are raising money for their stuff, you know? But I feel like it's like, nobody wants to beg everybody, you know? You have pride in what you do, you know? Like, we're fucking professionals, and it's like, I can't even make enough money to pay, you know, it's not even, I can't even make enough money to you don't want to be the guy who goes, well, you know, the honest thing is, I'm sick of having to worry about eating ramen. You know, I can't take my friend out because I don't know if I can afford enough ramen for the week, much less afford an apartment or pay off any kind of bills anybody has, like college loans or fucking insurance. Like, no, nobody has insurance. You know, nobody has health insurance. How can they afford to pay their... So it takes a cut from the biggest bands to the smallest bands. Downloading is certainly, you know, I don't think it's killed the record industry because people are buying more vinyl than anything, but you have to... It's like... It's one of those fringe things now. It's like when, I don't know, when you were younger, when everybody started collecting comic books, and then all of a sudden it got too much, and people were like, ah, this is never going to be worth anything. They thought they were going to make something of it, so they went away. So now everybody just downloads stuff, and they think they don't need it. It's not tangible in their hands. They don't care about it.
No.
But there are the ones that do. And how do we make it to where, you know, singles or something becomes special, something new, always a new t-shirt, always something new for the fans so that you can afford to keep doing what you're doing and making people happy or making the best product or the best thing that you can. It's hell on everybody, I can't lie.
You know,
but I like to think that you're not going to be deterred, you know, you just got to weather the storm and hopefully you'll come out on the other end and be one of the ones that said, you know what, I don't do this for money. I would like to be able to afford to do this for a living and not have to fucking dish dog it somewhere. But if I got to suck it up, fucking deliver pizzas or whatever the fuck I gotta do to get this done, I'm gonna do it because I'm never gonna stop playing rock and roll.
There you go.
I'm never gonna stop saying what I have to say.
That's right.
And that's our forum, you know. If it goes away, then, you know, that's a big freedom that we've lost, you know.
Yeah. No, that's right. That's right on. That's rock and roll right there. And there you go, folks. We hear a lot about downloading stuff, and you've heard it right there from a true artist. So we at Normal, we kind of believe that, you know, there's an assault on cannabis activists out there. There's assault on cannabis. The drug war is awful. Never going to win. Do you feel like that? What do you think about the drug war these days?
Well, it's... The drug war was a failed thing from the beginning. You know, Wayne Kramer says it best when you've had this drug war going on for 40 years now, and there's still people in jail getting locked up every day. Then obviously it's not working. You know, they need to retake a look at the laws that are there. You know, each each specific substance is different. I don't want to promote any of them. Besides marijuana, I don't think anything's wrong with marijuana, but I wouldn't encourage anybody to do any kind of other drugs. But as far as like people getting locked up for it, you can take a look at the programs that people like Wayne Kramer, or even in the old days like Johnny Cash would do, or Merle Haggard, and there's a lot of people locked up for silly, stupid reasons that's costing taxpayers, you know, millions of dollars a year that could be used on things to pay off people, you know, teachers and the people who are losing their jobs right now. You know, we have all these people in jail and we're trying to house them and feed them when they're, you know, they're using a lot of the bread that we could be using for other things that, that, you know, people go, why do we have to lay off 190 teachers in this one county, or, you know, 5,000 teachers retired so that they didn't have to lose their benefits in Wisconsin this year because their stupid fucking governor, Scott Walker, came in and tried to take the rights to protest away from the teachers' unions and all the unions. And, you know, that's something, it's all connected. If you just look at it as one thing, then you split hairs, and it's called wedge politics. It divides. Unfortunately, for people who are trying to stand up for marijuana laws, we get stuck in the category that's wedge politics, where they'll get somebody from a church or somebody who has no fucking idea what they're talking about to preach against it and say it's going to corrupt our kids or whatever. And they do the same with abortion. They do the same thing with Planned Parenthood. They do the same thing with gay marriage. All these things that should be your fucking, in your own home and your own family and your decision, that doesn't hurt anybody else. It shouldn't be anybody's fucking business. Not nobody from my community, not nobody from my fucking church, not nobody from my fucking city legislature. If it's not hurting anybody, it's in your own home. Those wedge politics are the things that get fucking take away from the real issues that, you know, politically we should be focusing on. You know, the things about the environment, the things about job loss, the things about, I don't know, it's heavy, man.
It is. So you guys, you're from Venus, by way of North Carolina now, and so you guys have been all over the place. So do you see differences in cannabis, you know, in Europe, your East Coast side, West Coast side? What would, like, right now, you're out on the West Coast. You feel like, you know, it's different out here now?
I feel like it's just
getting better, period?
I feel like there's good weed everywhere. It's just harder to, you know, like, sometimes it's easy over here. You always see it. The laws are loosening up in different places for people who need it, you know, which is a good thing. The people who need it should be able to get it. You see the laws changing, and I mean, for medical reasons or whatever, and you know, different things happen from state to state. Who knows what will happen? I think that there's people who will lobby against it for forever in away from certain places like North Carolina. I was very surprised in North Carolina when they actually outlawed tobacco in the bars and restaurants, because it's such a tobacco state. Yeah. It's not anymore since the referendum was overturned, and they now, you know, the tobacco companies had to buy a certain amount of tobacco from North Carolina farmers for a long time. That's turned over, and now they can buy it cheaper from Brazil and a couple other, I can't even remember now, I don't want to quote the wrong thing, but they just, you know, it's weird. You never know what will happen. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, I understand. So you've actually got your own podcast out there too, Rotnology. Tell our viewers about that and how they can find out about it.
Well, you know, I have a blog. I don't know how to post it on anything else. I think it's going to be posted on ValiantThor.com, so you might be able to find it there. If you just want to look up Rotnology, or you want to look up Valiant's vlog, it's got 3 G's in it. Valiant's vlog. I mean, it's if you spell it wrong on Google, it'll probably come up. Just, it's a podcast. It's like my old radio show that I used to have. It's run like John Peel style. I'll play any kind of stuff. It's probably music that you haven't heard. If you have heard it, it's probably something you'll like. And even if you haven't heard it, it's probably something you'll dig. It's heavy, a lot of heavy rock and roll, weird reggae, weird, you know, underground or old rap stuff.
I saw you had some Pentagram on there.
Yeah. We interviewed Bobby Liebling for the last podcast. I've only done 3 so far, so the 4th one will come out on Monday. It comes out every Monday. Like I said, you can find it on Valiant's blog, or you can find it. I post it on our Facebook, on Valiant Thor's Facebook. or you can get it off our if you follow me on Twitter. And but yeah, do the bad movie reviews on there and everything. It's cool. Just the weird stuff that I'm into right now when we're off,
Yep.
The road or whatever.
So I know you guys are always touring, but what's new for Valiant Thor? Are you guys working on a new album, or are you touring just from the last album? What's going on?
This is the end of a year cycle for the last album. Right now we're going to break for a little bit after this.
Yeah,
we'll play at Bumbershoot tomorrow.
There you go.
And in Seattle, and then we break for a little while. I know everybody's working on a few little things here and there. We have no plans to record right now. I think it's going to be a while before we will record, but I know that I'm looking forward to the writing process. I know that Aiden and I know that everybody has a few little things they've been working on. I've definitely got a few little riffs in my head, so hopefully something new will come up soon. But there's not any really anything too much planned. We had a couple of things. There's certain things that aren't. If they go down, they'll be out there. People will know about them. But as far as it goes, we're coasting for a little bit. You gotta take time off sometimes to rebuild things and make things bigger and badder. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Well, you guys have been touring forever, like I said. So yeah, you guys check these guys out. You know, ValiantThor.com. Check him out on Twitter. He's always up to something and saying something. And is there anything else you guys can tell our viewers or anything for? Before you go out there and rock, tear the stage up.
Legalize it, and I will advertise it.
Right on. All right.
Thank you guys, man.
This is Valiant himself, Herb Thrasher, Normal Rocks, Valiant Thor, live in Portland. You guys take care. We'll see you out there.
Peace.
Rock on.
Lead out.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, where the line between genius and insanity is quite wuzzily fungible. Or fungibly wuzzy. I'm not sure which.
Normal Show Live is actually live every weekday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern at live.normal.org.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
Since 1970, Normal has been fighting for the rights of all adults who use cannabis responsibly. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has been the chronicle of the cannabis community. Every second Friday of the month, we bring that working relationship to the Normal Daily Audio Stash with our special guest, Senior Editor Dave Bienenstock, author of the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, for our exclusive monthly preview of this month's issue of High Times.
All right, Dave Bienenstock on the line. How you doing, Dave?
Oh, very good, very good. How's it going, Russ?
Oh, really good here. We just wrapped up an interview with Valiant Thor that was running a little long, so I appreciate you hanging out there and waiting for us to get you on the line.
Oh, no worries.
All right, so we got all sorts of stuff to talk about, not a lot of time to talk about it. Let's start with the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. The first one in America was last year. This year there's three in America. The third one's coming up here. Tell us all about it.
Well, it's going to be in Detroit, October 15th and 16th. And obviously, you know, Michigan, the laws are under attack there, and so, you know, we're really hoping this can be an opportunity for the community that believes not just in medical marijuana, but that believes in the will of the voters, can get together and you know, find strength in a community and on the one hand celebrate, you know, this plant, and on the other hand, you know, realize that, you know, we have to join forces. There was just a big rally in Michigan a couple days ago, a few thousand people, so, you know, people are not going to take this affront to their rights lightly. Yeah. And so, you know, we're happy to be a part of that.
You know, one bright side on the Michigan law is Michigan is one of the four states remaining that have reciprocity. Michigan, Maine, Rhode Island, and Arizona are the states that will recognize any state's medical marijuana card. So California patients, Oregon patients, you know, wherever you're from, you can head to Detroit and have yourself a good time at the Medical Cannabis Cup there.
For sure.
Yeah. Now, David, is there a website? Is it still medcancup.com or that people can get more information on that?
Yeah, you know, for all the different medical cannabis cups, it's medcancup.com. And I'd also certainly be remiss in not reminding folks that the Amsterdam Cannabis Cup is also coming up in November.
Right.
And that's just cannabiscup.com.
All right, check those both
and
out.
And circa yesterday, I'll be there. So.
Oh, really? All right. Well,
well
cool.
You know, I mean, it's always, you know, we always try to make sure, you know, among the staff that different people get opportunities to go. Obviously, you know, almost everybody wants to go
sure.
every year. So, you know, it's never for sure until you book your flight.
All right. Well, glad you'll be out there. That'll be a lot of fun. And we're seeing if we can make our way out to Detroit as well. So I hope we can see you there. Of course, the other thing we got to talk about are the new issues of the High Times magazines. Let's start with the Medical Cannabis Quarterly, because I don't think as many people know about that one. What do you have in that magazine, and how is it different from High Times? Where can people find it?
Sure. It's our quarterly devoted entirely to medical marijuana. It's actually called High Times Medical Marijuana. It's the best place to find it is at the chain bookstores right now. But you should also just ask for it anywhere you get your regular High Times. This issue is devoted. It's called Incredible Edibles. We have a picture of a beautiful pineapple upside down cake made with golden pineapple, the strain, on the cover. And we have a lot of coverage of just really how professional and how diverse the offerings from the edibles manufacturers in medical marijuana states has become, and also how to use it as a medicine when you're eating it, you know, to get the most out of that. In the same issue, I mean, to me, we have an interview with Jorge Cervantes where he's really talking about coming home to California and becoming a patient and not having to wear a disguise anymore.
Yeah.
And also just advice for people who are just growing for themselves as a medical patient. If you really just do need to supply one person, the easiest and best ways to go about that. We also have Normal's own Paul Armentano with a feature called Endgame, and he's really taken every state that has medical marijuana in play right now, whether that might be getting a new law, whether that might be some laws that are stalled right now, or some laws that are under attack, like Michigan and Montana and elsewhere. And so Paul did a really great job of, I mean, man, things were changing right up until the deadline.
Yeah.
So he did a fantastic job in that article. And we also have, you know, we always have columns from a lot of the medical marijuana, you know, some of the leading voices in that movement, like Valerie Corral from WHAM, Rick Doblin from MAPS, Debbie Goldsberry, Chris Hermes from Americans for Safe Access. So we really are across the board really trying to represent both the patients and the medical marijuana movement. Paul, I get a feature from pretty much every issue.
Excellent. High Times Medical Cannabis Quarterly. You can pick that up at finer newsstands. Is there a way of getting a subscription to that through the High Times website, I suppose?
You can order individual copies through the website. We can't offer it for a subscription just yet.
Oh, okay.
But, we are working on it.
All right. And of course, High Times Magazine is out there, folks. We're out of time, unfortunately, but check it out. HighTimes.com for all the latest information in the cannabis community. Any big headline stars or interviews in there that we can get in real quick?
I had a story about the future of psychedelics with Sasha Shulgin and Rick Doblin from MAPS really talking about where all that's going, and we always have we have grow room tips and tricks from 21 top pros, so I mean, there's a lot going on.
All right, check it out, hightimes.com, and Dave Bienenstock will be at the Medical Cannabis Cup Detroit, and we hope you can make it there, too. We hope we'll be there as well. Dave, thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
I'll see you in Motown.
All right.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
All right, folks, that's it for the weekend for Cannabis Cure UK, Cannabis Carry. This is Calico and Ganja John. I'm Radical Russ. If you're listening on the podcast, we'll talk to you on Monday. See you at Hempstock, hempstock.org. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.